I've told the pastors that the two ways I've noticed through the years that Billy Graham Crusade helped local churches, number one is the Christian Life and Witness classes. And we'd like for you folks to go back and share what you've learned here with other folks. And not just the next week or two, but the next year or two, and for 10 years on down the road. This little course, most of it is basics. So every time we go back to the basics, God blesses us. The second thing is that the way churches get blessed, local churches, is Operation Andrew. We're going to be talking about that this evening. If you did, how many have turned their application in before the class? Would you raise your hand? Okay, thank you. Now the rest of you, we'll take them up right after the class. If you left your application home on the kitchen table, that's all right. We've got a blank here for you. And you can fill it out in about 10 minutes after the class is over. We'll be here about 20 minutes after. We gave you a sheet tonight, and I'll have to borrow one here. This right here. Get out this deal called Nurture Group. Let me tell you what that is. Nurture Group is a theological Billy Graham name for Bible study, but this is a little bit different kind of Bible study. It may be that since you're about 35 miles out that you can't make these, but if you can, I promise you a rich blessing. You'll be discussing two books in here. One is Living in Christ. We're going to mention that tonight. And the other one, I'm sorry, I don't have one. I gave it away, called 30 Discipleship Exercises. And it is excellent. It's worth going just to get it. The book can be used three ways. One-on-one, helping someone grow in Christ. Or personal devotion, just you and the Lord. Or small group Bible studies. And from these nurture group, we hope to train a couple of hundred small group Bible discussion leaders, sponsored by the churches. So when these folks get saved, you can put them in a small group Bible study. And this will teach you, you're not obligated to be a nurture group leader, but we want each church to have several of them. And you'll get you get blessed out of your socks if you can attend it. If you can, tear off the bottom part when we take up the attendance slip in about 45 minutes and pass it in, so we'll know how many to prepare for. Keep the top part so that you'll know where to go. Make the same place both sessions, if you can, please. Don't go to one place one time, one the next, because the second week you will be part of a small group that you started the first week. Any question on this? And you might take it back to your church and pass it around, the information that is. Other folks might be interested. Okay, let's see what... Pardon, let me get things back to you. All right. If you can come, or print it in with your attendance slip. Open up your little Billy Graham course book. You'll find the inside cover very blank. I want you to write this down on the board. We've got a capsule course. What that means is a makeup class. I used to call it a crash course. They said, Jack, don't call it that. It's a capsule course. But it's a makeup class. It's going to be at Northside Baptist Church, 1303 Sunset Boulevard, West Columbia, Saturday morning, the 4th of April, 9:30 a.m. to 12. Try to get that all on there. Northside Baptist. There's the address, Northside Baptist, Saturday the 4th of April, 9:30 a.m. to 12. This is for two kinds of people. Number one is, if you've missed a class, we need three classes to be a counselor. If you've only made two, go right ahead and turn your application in, and we'll send you back a letter and tell you about this class and when it's going to be and where. And make the class, and you can be a counselor. Then it's for people who are experienced in evangelism, like your pastors, experienced in evangelism. And we don't want a bunch of folks to come in off the street and expect to be counselors, because they won't make it. If you have somebody in your church that your pastor could recommend that is experienced in evangelism, maybe he's been out of town, couldn't make these classes, and we don't want folks that are not experienced in evangelism. We want folks that can sit down and open up a Bible and lead someone to Christ. If that's the case, and your pastor recommends them, here's the place to send them. Any question on that? But write that down and get that word back to each one of your churches, please. I know you can hardly wait to leap to your feet and quote all six verses you've memorized, right? All right, stand up. Fill both lungs full of this frigid air. I'll tell you what, we don't have time for all six. We'll take the last two. John 10:9, Christ is our salvation. On the title, Christ is our salvation, all together, out loud. Christ is our salvation. John 10:9. I am the door. By me, if any man enters in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture. John 10:9. Okay, we must receive him, all together. We must receive him. John 1:12. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. John 1:12. Thank you. Be seated. We've had some inquiries. We've had some inquiries on how can I get some help on scripture memory, and also on the front, inside front cover of your book, you can write this down. There's a little Bible memory course. This thing is not tall enough. put out by the NAV Press, called the Topical Memory System, but you don't have to send that for it. Every Bible store has them. And I'd like to recommend that you get one and go through it. Don't try to do it by yourself. Pick out a guy or a gal, and both of you sign up for it, and call each other once or twice a week and review your verses with them. You'll get some little cards. Let's see if I've got them. Little cards look like this. Each one's got a title, got the scripture reference. On one side is New International, on the other side is King James. Or you can get Revised on one side and New American Standard on the other side. Now what makes this different is this. Every verse you memorize is by topics. Have you ever reached for a verse mentally and you knew what it said but you've forgotten where it was? Have you ever done that? Sure you have. Well, if that happens to you, you take this course, you will memorize three verses on that topic, and you can get one of the other two, right? I don't know of a better way to get a grasp of a word in the whole. It doesn't take time. It saves time. Driving up here, I can review 30 verses. The last several years, I got a prayer partner that called me from Texas. He said, Jack, how long has it been since you've memorized some new verses? And I said, Wayne, it's been about a year, and it's my conscience is hurting me. We used to memorize three a week. And he said, well, why don't you try one a week for the rest of your life? One new verse a week, and then review it for 15 weeks. I said, good grief, 15 weeks? I said, I'd be sick of it before then. He said, if you review it 15 weeks, you'll never forget it. Well, that's not true. I can still forget them. I've got an automatic forgetter. But I promise you, and Satan will fight you harder on this than anything you've ever done, with the possible exception of meeting the Lord morning by morning. Pick up a topical memory system and go to work on it. Okay, let's see what else we have here. All right. Now, we gave you a Living in Christ tonight. If you didn't bring a Bible, we're going to start using it. On the inside, if you look at it like this, we'll get around this whole thing later, but right inside is the whole Gospel of John. In the Living, the whole Gospel of John. How many here have had an Operation Andrew Sunday in your church? Would you raise your hand? Okay, get out your Operation Andrew card. And I don't even have one. Okay, looks like this. Operation Andrew card. Get that out, please, and open up your little Living in Christ, the Gospel of John, chapter 1, verse 41. Now, let me tell you how Operation Andrew got started as far as the Billy Graham team's concerned. It got started as far as the Lord's concerned in John 1. In 1954, Billy had a crusade in London. He was having about 75 people come forward each evening. My boss, Charlie Riggs, and Ruth Graham, and Grady Wilson, paired everyone to come forward with the counselors each night. And in a little church in the suburbs of London had a card very similar to this. And they picked it up and started using it. Operation Andrew is this. We're going to ask you to pray for someone daily that you know that needs Jesus. I'm going to ask that you think of one right now. Man, woman, boy, or girl that you know that needs Christ as Savior. Pray for them daily. Number two, cultivate their friendship. So it'll be perfectly natural to invite them to be your guest at the crusade. I don't breeze over that one. That's important. You've got plenty of time to do that between now and the crusade. It'd be perfectly natural to invite them to be your guest. Number three, invite them to go to the crusade and haul them there to be sure they get there in your church bus or your car. And then encourage them the best way you know how to commit their life to Christ. The pastor of the Hoffmantown Baptist Church in Albuquerque, New Mexico, told us that he baptized over 200 people in 18 months after the crusade because of Operation Andrew. Now, they all didn't come at once. The ones that came at once were the ones that got saved at the crusade. They went home and got their lost relatives and people to work with and neighbors and brought them in 18 months they counted up a little over 200. We flew him down to Oklahoma City to talk to our pastors. And here's what he did. He leased some buses from the city that weren't being used in the evening. Got a good price on them. He said, if you want a free ride to the crusade, bring a guest. And if you have a blue badge, you get on the blue bus so that you get on the same bus going and coming. And he said, you sit with your guest. When Billy Graham gives the invitation, here's what you say. Call him by name. Joe, if you want to go forward, I'll go with you. Now, that's not hard. You can get that down between now and crusade, can't you? Hey, let's try it all together, out loud. If you want to go forward, I'll go with you. They're sharper than I thought. They've already got it. And then what a joy it will be to see them find Christ as Savior and join your church. That's Operation Andrew. John 1:41. Andrew, brought his brother to Jesus. And, you know, you can preach Operation Andrew for 6 weeks straight, and that's the whole thing right there. John 1:41. He found his brother Simon, said, we found the Savior. And he brought him to Jesus. That's the whole deal. Flip over to chapter 4 in your Living in Christ, Gospel of John. In verse 4 of chapter 4, it said Christ had to go through Samaria. Well, that's kind of strange because Jews did not go through Samaria. They did not like each other. And down in verse 7, he asked for a drink of water from a woman. Now, this woman was an immoral, insignificant nobody. She could not go get water with the ladies of the community in the cool of the evening. She was down there at high noon because she was an outcast. And she said, why are you even talking to me? I'm a Samaritan and you're a Jew. And Jews have no dealings with the Samaritans. And that may be why we don't get more folks saved in my home church and in your home church. In many ways, we've lost contact with the lost folks. And some of our churches, God forbid, have become sanctuaries for saints instead of hospitals for sinners. He said, if you knew who I was, you'd ask me for a drink of water. And that by verse 10. She said, well, that's ridiculous. You know, you don't even have a bucket or a rope. How could you give me a drink of water? He said, I'm not talking about this kind of water. I'm talking about the kind of water that will spring up into everlasting life. And she said, sir, give me that water. This woman had never been to a Christian Life Witness class. She didn't know John 3:16. You know, Jesus never did lose sight of the importance of the individual. In a lot of ways, we've done that. We talk about thousands in crusades. But if they're going to get saved, they're going to get saved individually in multiples of one. Amen? That's how you got saved, wasn't it? That's how I got saved, multiples of one. Back in the third chapter of John, the very first revelation of the new birth, how big a congregation did he have? One. What was his name? Nicodemus. Over in the fifth chapter of Mark, I believe, said he crossed a great body of water, and he healed, and he saved one man. This fellow had been a demoniac. He'd been insane. You never would pick him for a good prospect. Then he got in his boat and left. One man. We haven't lost sight of the importance of the individual in business. I promise you that. I had a wholesale house in Oklahoma City for a number of years. I sold Army and Air Force post exchanges. A prospect, not a customer, just a prospect, was Fort Hood, Texas. And it was about 335 to 350 miles down there. And I went down there and tried to sell them. 342 miles down there and 342 miles back. 5 times in 18 months, I traveled about 700 miles each time, and I had not sold him a dime's worth. 5th time, he wasn't fair. I left him a note on his desk. Dear sir, you need me, you don't realize it. Here's why. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. You know how that goes. And miracle, miracles. A few days later, he called me in Oklahoma City, said, we'd like to try this line of merchandise. When can you put the displays in? I said, tomorrow morning. He said, now quit kidding around. When can you really put them in? I said, tomorrow morning. We worked late that evening and drove half the night. I drove a truck. My wife drove a station wagon. 8 o'clock, we were there. And we put his displays in. A few months later, he called me and said, Jack, we're remodeling this post exchange. It was a great big store. I did about, $50,000 a month back in those days, which was a lot of money back in those days. And, a week. He said, would you bring 2 or 3 men down here and hang this merchandise and market for us? After the original display, we'd been putting in the stockroom. I said, Mr. Freeman, we sure will. And we did that. And what happened was this. That additional service, by keeping it on sale, doubled our sales. We'd come back in a week or two to still be in the stockroom. They hadn't put it on sale. So we ran some more tests, and we did that in 32 states. It doubled our sales nationwide. We gave Mr. Freeman all the credit for that suggestion. Didn't charge me any more money. About a year later, he helped me get started in a line of merchandise I'd never had before. Helped me get started in it. Within a year after that, this new line of merchandise we'd never had before was over half of our sales nationwide. Within 3 years, one man doubled our sales twice. We gave Charlie Freeman all the credit. We kept the money. Now look down at verse 25. Verse 25. The woman said, I know a Savior's coming. They're going to call him the Christ. And verse 26, the very first revelation that Christ made as a Messiah, he made to this woman. Insignificant? Yep. Immoral? Yep, you bet. Nobody? Yes. Woman? That's right. And she dropped her water pot, no longer an outcast. She ran back down through the main street of town, not walking the shadows, yelling at the top of her voice, come and see! I found the Savior! Can we do any less? With our crusades and our fancy books and our television and our beautiful churches, just find someone that doesn't know Christ, say, hey, come and see! I found the Savior. Look down at verse 39. Forever it's recorded that many of the Samaritans of this city believed on Christ for the saying of the woman. Back up in verse 35, Jesus said, you think it's a couple of months of the crusade? Oh, no. Fields are already white in the harvest. He looked down and saw her coming back down towards the spring, the well, with all these people following her that she had gathered up. Look at verse chapter 5 for just a moment. You thought of that name yet? Chapter 5, along about verse 7. You know the story here. There was a pool of water at irregular intervals. An angel troubled the water, and the first one in got healed. And Jesus asked a very strange question in verse 6. This man had been lame for 38 years. He said, would you like to be healed? He said, sir, I have no man, no one to help me. What a tragedy it would be for a couple of hundred people to get saved at the crusade and come down front and have no one to help them. Isaiah, if I can find it here, I'll tell you what it says. Isaiah 42. I'll have to look it up for you later. I can't find it. A portion of Isaiah said, I looked around for a counselor and there wasn't anyone to help me. I asked him, but there was no one to give me an answer. And what a tragedy it would be if that happens here. I pray that doesn't happen. I thank God for you Have you noticed we don't have any seating problem in here the fourth week? We're down to a hard core now, folks. I'll tell you what, you can always plan on the fourth week meaning business for Christ. But coming out tonight, double it. All right, put that name right now on the top line, please. Man, woman, boy, or girl. Now, if you don't know anyone that's lost, you've been running with the wrong crowd. Think on that for a minute. Put it on the top line right now, please. Incidentally, the next year after they started Operation Andrew, they had a crusade in Scotland. Instead of 75, they had 450 come forward each evening, average. And the next year in Los Angeles, then they had around 650 come forward each evening. And folks who have been with the team ever since then tell me the reason now they're having decisions in thousands and tens of thousands instead of dozens is Operation Andrew. Have you had an evangelistic service meeting at your church and you had some good preaching, some good singing, some good fellowship, and you looked around? Well, no one got saved. Hardly anyone got saved. I wonder why. The reason why is the lost weren't there. That's what Operation Andrew does. Let's stand now, please, and pray for this name on the top line. Would you, please? If you already have an Operation Andrew card started, now you've got two. Father, this name on the top line represents a soul, Lord, that you died for. Lord, we know how important that is. Make us faithful, Lord, in praying for this individual daily, even more often than daily, as you bring them to mind. Lord, let us not be satisfied with one, but get another and another, so we'll have several to bring the crusade. Then, Lord, make us willing to cultivate their friendship, so it'll be perfectly natural to invite them to be our guest at the crusade. And be willing to haul them there, Lord, in our church bus or car to be sure they get there. Perhaps to encourage them to come forward by saying, if you want to go forward, I'll go with you. Make us faithful in this, Lord. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Thank you. Be seated. All right, open up your little book to page 63, please. I'll take it back. Let's check one thing before we do that. Let's go back to page 32 for just a moment. 32, page 32. Let's check on your homework for a second here. Question 7 on page 32. Christ varied his approach between the woman of Samaria and Nicodemus. How is it different? Somebody answer, one was a woman, another was a man. That's not what we want. All right, somebody here, give me your answer on question 7 on page 32. Anybody, out loud, quickly. Pardon me? Okay, somebody over here, what's your answer? Y'all do your homework? All right. Okay. Well, one was a direct approach, at least. One was indirect, right? Question 8. On page 32. Analyze Philip sharing Christ. What practical lessons can we learn? Let me give you two or three that I've got written down here. See how they agree with yours. First, Philip was available. When God called him, he went. Second, he was spirit-led. The sovereign God set a meeting up out in the desert between a counselor and a prepared heart. Then he did preach Christ. He shared Christ. He didn't visit about baseball games and the man, they're great. But he shared Christ, the gospel, the good news of the gospel. And then he got a decision. Would you all agree with that? Okay, now turn to page 63. Page 63. I want you to write something down at the top of it, please. We're going to have a rehearsal for counselors. 1 p.m. Saturday the 25th of April, that's the day the crusade starts, in the stadium, 1 p.m., counselors. Now, the choir is the night before at 7 o'clock on Friday night, but they'll write you a letter on that if you've signed up. We're going to give you a chance to sign up tonight if you want to. On page 63, top of the page, underline, always bring a Bible. Please underline ballpoint pen. Little felt-tip pen will not really work good because we've got a carbon to work with. Wear your badge on your right lapel. Number 4, look at that. Be neat and clean in your personal appearance. Well, you look great to me. Something to sweeten the breath is recommended. How about that? Who was it said that bad breath is better than no breath at all, but barely? Several years ago, one night after the crusade meeting was over, Billy Graham was talking to my friend Charlie Riggs. He said, "Charlie, what's going on here? When these women go forward, they open up their purse, they dig around something, and they pop something in their mouth. And the men, they dig around in their pocket, and they find something and pop it in their mouth. What's going on, Billy? Charlie?" And Riggs said, "Well, Billy, on the first session of the Christian Life Witness class, you know, we're going to be working pretty close. We suggest that our counselors pop a breath mint in their mouth as they start down the council." And Billy thought that was a good idea. He said, "That's a great idea. Have them get a bottle and name some liquid brand that he was using. He said, one drop of that kills everything." And Charlie said, "No, that won't work." Billy said, "Of course it works. It works for me. Why won't it work?" And Rick said, "Well, Billy, what do you think that the television reporters and the newspaper people would say right before 2,000 counselors go forward, they get a bottle out of their pocket and tip it up? But you know me well enough by now that I don't want to teach you anything that's not biblical, right?" Read it with me, everybody. Okay, read it with me. "His lips are perfumed like lilies, and his breath is like myrrh." Who has more fun than Christians? Turn to page 64. Page 64. And again, I don't have one. Near the top of the page, D2, if you counsel children, we've got a special little book, very similar to Living in Christ, except it's especially done for kids. It's got cartoons in it, and it's great. Now flip over to page 69 for just a minute. Bottom of page 69 on 70 and page 70. Bottom of page 69 and on 70 are 15 helpful hints. I'm going to ask that you prayerfully review these each evening before you counsel. Hey, don't wait till the crusade. Next week, when you go visit for your church and your Lord, look over these. Husbands, several of them work for wives. You'll find them be extremely interesting. Now let's see. Let's go back now to page 50. I guess that's where we really should have started the fourth lesson. Page 50. 50. Follow up. Again, I'm going to ask you to read and study all this. Page 50, second paragraph. In other words, the decision is just the beginning. A friend of mine and been in this kind of work all of his life, he said, "Jack, the decision is 5%. Living out that decision is 95%. Would you agree with that? Next paragraph, definition of follow-up. The process of giving attention to a new Christian till it's integrated in the local church and growing in the Lord. Top of page 51. Paul's chief concern was for the growth and the development of new Christians. Next paragraph, underneath that, circle that word, letters. I started having a time alone with the Lord because a man cared enough to write me a letter. And it changed the direction of my life, not my life, but the direction, in a matter of a few weeks. Next paragraph, prayers. If we don't pray, God's not going to do a great work. I'm going to ask you, read and study all of this. We don't take time in class. Now turn the page, page 52. About 2 inches down. New Christians do need care for various reasons, and the care should be administered by good material. Is that right? What does it say? Who knows what TLC means? Jot that down, big letters in the margin there. That's what these newborn babes in Christ need, is some tender, loving care. Now, we'll cover all these steps in crusade follow-up, but you can circle that word counselor. We've got an excellent follow-up program, but if we don't have a counselor, we don't have any follow-up program, or we don't know who they are, or where they live, or how to get in touch with them. How many mothers do we have here? When the first baby arrived, the work was all over, right? I know better than that. We had 5 kids. Get out your book, Living in Christ. This is the first meal for the newborn baby. I started to say the first bottle of milk, but we had a better system in our family than bottles of milk. Living in Christ. You'll give one of these to everyone that comes forward. Now, I'm going to show you now in the next few minutes how you're going to share it. Open it up. Like I said before, look up this way. On your left is the Gospel of John. It's all got page numbers. So when I say page 3 or page 5, you've got to know which we're talking about. On your right is a workbook. Right past the Gospel of John is a yellow card. You all see that? I'm going to see how coordinated you are. On the count of 3, I'm going to ask that you rip it out. Get a hold of it now. Are you ready? 1, 2, 3. We're having a ripping good time tonight, aren't we? Now, that's what you'll do at the crusade, folks. Look at that little card for a minute. You'll fill that out. You'll put your name on there and sign it and give it to the inquirer. We've had men carry these in their billfolds for years for assurance. Please do not write on that little yellow card. Please don't. While it's in the book. Because there's a carbon underneath and you'll mess it up. Turn right past that counseling card. Turn past that and you'll find some scripture portions to memorize. Do you find those? Which one is... What verse is in the upper left-hand corner? Everybody. Okay, you have it. Circle the word salvation. If that's the decision the inquirer makes, go over John 3:16 with it. Put his name in it, like we did last week. For God so loved Ralph that he gave his one and only son, that if Ralph believes in him, and so on. And ask him to memorize this during the next 48 hours, during the next 2 days, ask him to memorize it. Tell him you're going to call him up and ask him to quote it to you on the phone. Also on John 3:16, please write down assurance. Please write assurance. If his decision is salvation or assurance, go with John 3:16 with him first. That's about 75% of all the folks come forward. Okay, turn past that. You'll see a page that says instructions with red words running down the left-hand side. You all find it. Is there anyone that does not find it? Reach up to the upper right-hand corner and dog ear it. Turn down the upper right-hand corner. That's what you'll do at the crusade. Now, all you have to say here is, Joe, this is your homework page. When you want to know what to do next, come back here and it'll tell you. It's your homework page. Okay, turn past that. But turn down the corner so you can find it. Next is a letter from Billy Graham on page 1. Now, you won't have time to read all this, but I would suggest you might want to consider going over the things underlined in red. And a lady gave us a real good idea. She said, Jack, remember the second lesson you had, the balanced Christian life? Y'all remember that? That was the hub, everybody. Christ. And the bottom spoke was the Word, top spoke prayer, worship, and witnessing, right? All 5 of those things are mentioned in this letter. And she said, as I go over that, I just draw out the balanced Christian life on that blank sheet. Now, you don't have to do that, but it's fun. Then the inquirer goes home with this illustration he can use the rest of his life and share with others. Okay, turn past that to page 9. Page 9, Joe, here's a Bible study, and I want to get you started in it tonight. Dog ear to page 9. Turn down the upper right-hand corner. Let's do question 1 together, Joe. What did Jesus come in the world to do? That's found in this Gospel of John we're giving you tonight. Chapter 1, verse 29. Show them how to find it. And this is pretty sharp, folks. You'll find John 1:29. Turn to it, please, right now. On one side, you can hold it like this and have the question, the Bible study on the other. Isn't that sharp? That's pretty neat. And you ask him the question. What did Jesus come in the world to do? Have him read the scripture. What should he tell you? Take away the sins of the world, make it personal. Take away my sins. And work one or two questions. You might work number 1 and number 4. Now flip over to page 35. Billy Graham will tell him about the memory work, about the Bible study, and about the Bible readings. On page 35 is a Bible reading program. Dog ear the top right-hand corner so he can find it. Joe, here's what Billy Graham was talking about. I want you to read the first chapter of John before you sleep tonight. You can check it off here. And read a chapter every day, just like this guy out here. All right, turn past that. In the very back of the book, you'll find a little envelope. After you ripped off the card in front, it should be very loose now. Now, don't take time to do it now. At the crusade, may I suggest this, please? Take out your first 4 verses Oh, incidentally, right below John 3:16 is 1 John 1:9. If his decision is rededication, go with that with him. 1 John 1:9, rededication. I would suggest you go over 1 John 1:9 with everybody you counsel, regardless of what decision they make. They're going to need it during the next week, right? Okay. Tear this out. Put the first four verses, John 3:16, 1 John 1:9, and the other two on that page, put it in this little pocket. You men have it made. You'll be counseling men. And you say, Joe, put this in your shirt pocket. I want you to review it at least twice a day. You women have more of a difficult problem. I hardly know what to tell you. If you say, Mabel, drop it in your purse, she may never find it again. Hey, I'll tell you what you do. Every lady's purse I've ever seen, when you open it up, there's a little pocket. Every time you open it, you see that pocket, right? Put it in that pocket. So every time she opens it up, she'll see this little envelope. Ask her to review the cards at least twice a day. Right past that, the very back, certificate of completion. Do you find that? The very back cover of the book. Is there anyone who does not find it? It says certificate of completion. Is there anyone who does not find it? Now pay attention. This is part of your homework. I want you to do this. Then when you counsel, you can look your inquirer right in the eye and say, I've got a free book coming. I hope you may even have it by then. When you do what this little card says, send this in, and Billy Graham will send you a free book. And challenge them to do that. Say, I did that. Those Bible studies blessed my life. I memorized those portions of Scripture, and they sure helped me. I'd recommend it to you. And I've got a free book coming. And ask them to do the same thing. Now, that's all there is to sharing this book, except filling out the card in the front. So turn to the front now, and incidentally, don't tear this card out till I tell you. We're going to use the buff card for an attendance slip tonight. We're going to fill out the white paper on top. Oh, tonight we gave you a little deal like this, too. Don't get it out and look at it. We want you to do this between now and the crusade. It's a little 5-week Bible study. You can either do it by yourself, but it's a lot more fun to do it with other folks. So get 4 or 5 people from your church. Pastors, this won't cost you anything. They've already got Living in Christ. And every one of these little Bible studies is in this book. And if you go through this and do these little Bible studies, first, God will bless you for it. But second, you'll have a real good idea about this book. Also in this book, between page 9 and page 35, is My Heart Christ Home. We gave you first week. It's all in here. Time Alone with God, second week, it's all in here. Steps of Peace with God, all diagrammed out, it's in here. This is a great little book. There are several thousand churches use this for follow-up. When you join that church, they put you right in this book. All right, now on this counseling card, let me put it up here on the screen just a minute. About the fourth line down, I want you to skip that line. Where it says, check one, acceptance of Christ. I want you to skip that. At the very top, Billy Graham, Crusade Counseling Card, please, what's the next two words? Everybody. Once more. Why would we put that on there? So the co-labor corps could read it. That's right. Now, if you have a ballpoint pen, use it, please, and start the top, and I'm going to give it to you. Skip that line. I've got on screen, do not put anything on that line. Start the top and print plainly. And I'm going to give you about 2 minutes. Go right ahead and put your age down there. I'm just proud to be here when you consider the options. Amen? So we'll take your badge away if you do that. Promise you, you're not allowed to do that. All right, now, down at the bottom is the counselor. The counselor will fill this out at the crusade, you'll fill out all of it. You'll sign it down there. Right below that, it says, this copy retained by who keeps the white sheet of the crusade? Everybody. Counselor. All right. Tear out the white sheet. If the carbon worked, put it in your pocket or in your purse. That's what you'll do at the crusade. If it did not work, you can turn it in for an attendance slip. If you got a little buff pen, I want a record of your attendance tonight. Now, we're going to do some more work on the buff card. Now, give me your attention. I don't guess we've ever had a series of Christian life witness classes, but what some important decisions for Christ were made by a number of people. We did not give an invitation last week. We did go over steps to peace with God. In every class or series of classes I've ever had, a number of folks found Christ as Savior. In Tallahassee last fall, I had 19 find Christ as Savior. Over half of them were over 55 years of age. As you've done these Bible studies, as you've memorized these scriptures, as you've started meeting Christ morning by morning and having time alone with Him, and as we went over steps to peace with God last week, if you've made the wonderful discovery of knowing Christ as your Savior, and you're certain of that, put a big X on acceptance of Christ on the buff card. If you have assurance of your salvation that you did not have before you took the course, from the Word of God, based on the Scripture, check assurance. If God has laid His finger on an area of your life and has been a true, T-R-U-E, a true rededication, check rededication. If God has called you to make another decision that we haven't listed here, check other. And if you haven't made any of these decisions, don't check anything. Fair enough? If you found Christ as Savior during this course, I would like the privilege of praying for you personally, and I will by name. Now, if you want to sign up for the choir and you have not signed up yet, write the word choir right above your last name on the buff card where it says code. Write choir right up there. And if you will, please put down what part you sang. Tenor, bass, alto, or whatever. If you've already signed up, you don't need to do this. If you want to sign up to be an usher and you have not signed up yet, write the word usher right above your last name where it says code. We'll get in touch with you. Some of our very best counselors sang in the choir and then counsel. There's no conflict here. If there was, I would not offer you the chance to sign up for it. Cliff Burrows was a guest of my home several times last year, a couple of times, and I told Cliff that, you know, and he agrees. Some of our very best counselors are usher. They usher, then they counsel. You usher before, counsel afterwards. Sang before, and then counsel afterwards. No conflict here. Any questions? Encourage first sessions on a Saturday. You're going to counsel someone Saturday. Say, Joe, do you have any lost friends? Well, of course he's got lost friends. Why don't you invite them to be your guest and bring them back tomorrow night? If you want to, I'll meet you at the Coke machine or somewhere. And they will. And hundreds get saved because folks get saved the first, second, third night and bring folks back. C2. Whether you phone, write, or visit, and here's where it really works. You've got the white sheet in your pocket. And you say, Joe, I'm going to call you up about 2 days from now and visit with you on the phone. And you call him up. And he'll be glad to hear from you because you've been a big help to him. See, these folks come down seeking help and you've helped them. You are 9 feet tall spiritually. As far as they're concerned, you're an out-of-state expert. And you say, Joe, have you memorized John 3:16? Great. Say it to me on the phone. If he makes a mistake, you correct him. Say, Joe, it doesn't honor the Lord not to do good work on this memory work. We want a word perfect to honor the Lord. Correct him. 4 or 5 things there you need to talk to him about. Most important, 2D. Joe, I want you to promise me that you'll set aside 15 minutes each morning, it says 10 here, reading God's Word and in prayer. And get a commitment from him. that night a church, a letter goes out to a local pastor suggesting that the pastor get a hold of him immediately. Now, what if a guy comes down from Washington, D.C., and he gets saved here? Am I obligated to call Washington, D.C. on my money? No, you are not. Got a letter for you on the next page. Now, you can use this letter just like it is. Your obligation is one, call him or write him a letter. And if he's out of state, we're going to have a rough line to call from the office, but you won't be there. You can change this letter any way you want. You can personalize it to suit yourself. You can use half of it, third of it, two-thirds of it, or none of it, or all of it. But it's a good letter. It's got the things in it that you need to tell him. Okay, turn the page. Page 56. Top of the page. Within a few days, he's going to get a letter from Billy Graham, and a few weeks later, a devotional booklet from Billy Graham. Bible study. You're going to get him started on page 9 on Bible study and living in Christ. Church follow-up. That night, a letter will go out to a local pastor. Incidentally, pastors, we ask you to come back and let us know what you find out when you visit Joe. If we don't hear from you in a reasonable period of time, we're going to write you a second letter and say, "Dear pastor, why have you not called on Joe Dokes or one of your staff? Please let us know." If we don't hear from you on the second letter, I don't know how they're doing it now. I guess it's still the same. We're going to mark you off our list as far as Joe's concerned and send a copy of Joe's card to yet another pastor. We want to get Joe in a local church immediately. That's our goal. Radio follow-up for 2 weeks. May I suggest that your church tape these radio programs and keep them in your church from now on? They are excellent. I've read all the copy, every word. It just couldn't be better. 10 times. Weekly for 2 weeks, morning and evening. Decision Magazine, he's going to get it 6 months. That's a mistake there. He won't get it for 1 year. He's going to 6 months free of charge. Nurture groups. These are Bible studies sponsored by the churches. We talked about that first of the hour. Top of page 57. About 3 weeks later, we're going to call up everybody. We're going to get a watch line or have a watch line. Regardless of where they are in the U.S., we're going to call them up. Ask them 6 or 8 questions. How can we help them? Are they in a local church? That's one of the main things we want to know. Special follow-up, students, military. Middle of page 57, needs of a new Christian. On the screen and in your book, 1 Peter 2:2. See if I can't find a slide here on that. Yeah, here's one. Read it with me out loud. Like newborn babes, long for the pure milk of the word that you may grow thereby. And whether you've been saved 40 minutes or 40 years, that's how we grow in Christ, folks, by feeding on God's word. Would you agree with that? Protecting. Don't breeze over this one. This is important. 1 Peter 5:8. A young man was memorizing this verse, and he just got one word wrong. He said, "Be sober, be vigilant, because your advisor, the devil..." You know, sometimes I think he's advising me. Read it with me. "Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour." In Oklahoma City, my hometown, one night, after all the cars were gone except the co-labor corps and the counselors and the inquirers, the Jehovah's Witnesses put an invitation to one of their Bible studies on every windshield wiper. Here's a fellow got saved, gets back to his church. "Look, Mabel, what the Lord provided. Invitation to Bible study." He doesn't know Jehovah's Witnesses from come here, sick 'em. Need to guard our parking lots. There are groups that can hardly wait to adopt your babies and give them a good home every city we go to. The Church of Satan, I found out today, is moving their national headquarters to Denver. You all pray for me if God brings me to mind. 3 weeks from next... 3 weeks from tonight. It's Monday? No, 3 weeks from next Monday. I get almost 3 weeks off. We start in Denver, and I'll have 6 classes a week there for a month. We're doing a statewide deal there. 2 of my sons are going up and teaching us class in cities probably 150 miles out. There are 12 businessmen from Oklahoma paying their own expenses, going up there 2 or 3 weeks for 3 days at a time, teaching his class to cities outside of Denver. And then I get almost a week off, and then I go to Cheyenne, Wyoming. So keep me in mind. Now, Colossians 2, 6, and 7 we'll cover. What this verse says, we need to be rooted in Christ, built up in the faith, and established. We'll talk about that in a minute. Turn the page. Page 58. Near the top, you can write ability on one side, availability on the other. And let me ask you, which is most important, ability or availability? Everybody. You bet your sweet life. It works two ways, to God and to others. Isaiah chapter 6, verse 8. Isaiah said, "Here am I, Lord, send George." You know, that's what a lot of us do, right? "Here am I, Lord, send somebody else." My prayer for you has been Acts chapter 9, verse 6, since I first heard that I was going to get to be with you. I can almost hear the apostle, his name was Saul then, Saul whisper, "Lord, what do you want me to do?" That's my prayer for you. I want you to do what God wants you to do. Why? Well, first, I know you're going to get blessed. And second, I know the ministry is going to prosper. If we're obedient, are you available? If God wanted to bless you, could he find you? He does want to bless you. And his crusade is one way. Right below that, Christ or self. I like to write the word only. Right below Christ. Christ only or self only. As you know, the book of Philippians is a follow-up book. The whole book is a follow-up book. Most of our New Testament are follow-up books. See what the scriptures say. Philippians 1:21. Read it with me. "For to me to live is Christ, to die is gain." Two ways you can die. One, your heart stops beating, your brain waves start, you're dead. The other way is dying to self. Paul, in writing to Philippians, said, "I would like to come and help you fellows down there. You're in bad shape and you need my help, but I can't come." He goes on to say in his chapter, "I would like to send Timothy. He's a good man. I can't even send Timothy now." Philippians 2:21, only one chapter away, but Paul's apart. Here's what it says. Read it with me. "For all seek their own, not the things which are Jesus Christ." He said, "I don't have anyone to send and help you because they're all too selfish." Now, I won't ask you this evening where you are on this line if you won't ask me. Fair enough? Most of the time, I'm very close to self only. Because by nature, I'm naturally, inherently, desperately selfish a lot of the time. Get your Bible and turn to Romans chapter 12, verse 1 and 2. How do you move down the line? How do you become less self-only and more Christ-only? I'm going to draw a big arrow there, but Romans chapter 12, verse 1 and 2. And I borrowed a King James Bible from a brother up front here. Jack, I know what Romans 12, 1 and 2 is. My preacher preached on it recently. I've had it in Bible studies. I've memorized it. I know what that says. That's a very familiar verse, right? May I reverently ask you, have you ever done it? Paul starts off saying, "I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercy of God, that you present your bodies." What kind of a sacrifice? Ladies and gentlemen, if God wanted you for a dead sacrifice, you would not be here tonight. He could arrange that anytime. Assuming he does not want you for a dead sacrifice, he's got something else in mind for you. A living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, he said in King James, which is your reasonable service. He said, "I'm not asking you to do anything out of the ordinary because of who God is and what he's done for you. We owe him. We should be in his service. That's the most reasonable thing in the world. Verse 2. Be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. I bet someone interrupted. In just a minute, Paul, you're going too fast. How am I going to get transformed? He said, I'm going to tell you. As you feed on God's Word, as you hear it preached, as you read it, study it, memorize it, meditate on it, if we're obedient to the Holy Spirit, our mind is renewed, and that results in our lives being transformed. The last part of verse 2, it talks about God's will for our lives, that you may prove what is that good. God says, Jack, my will for you is good for you. It'll be acceptable to you. It'll be fun for you to walk on God's pathway. And then he just runs out of adjectives. He said, God's will is perfect. That's how we move down the line. We present our bodies a living sacrifice. We make a total commitment of lordship. We're in his service. We're in his word. We're obedient. And we're walking on God's pathway in the center of God's will, and folks, it just doesn't get any better than that. Amen? That's how you move down the line. Thank you if you loan your Bible. Right below that, in the top line, would you please write down the word multiply? John 12:24, and this is what it says. First word is multiply. Christ speaking here. He said, except the corn of wheat fall in the ground and die. If the corn of wheat does not die, how many grains do you have? Just one. But if it does die, it bringeth forth much fruit. You know, I lived on a farm, a little ranch and farm, for a couple of years growing up. Left home real early. Not necessarily to get away from it, but I was happy to get away from it. And we'll say that that's the surface of the ground, and you plant a seed an inch and a half down and gets a little water. There's several things that happens. The first thing that happens, that seed gets soft. It softens, and it gets bigger. It enlarges. And when we get the picture of multiplication that God would have us to get from the New Testament, our vision is enlarged, and our hearts are softened every time. Let me ask you a question. What's the biggest thing you prayed for last week? Oh, I pray such small prayers. A friend of mine said, Jack, we're praying for toys. We need to be praying for continents. What's the biggest thing you prayed for? First crusade I ever went to one night, Oklahoma City. Several hundred people got saved, and I didn't know God was that big. I really didn't. My vision was enlarged. Then, after that, the second thing that happened is a chemical change that takes place, and the starch in that seed turns to sugar every time. And God is still doing that in my life. How about you? Do you have some starchy edges around the outside edge that Christ would like to sweeten up? And the next thing that happened, third thing, roots go down. And then shoots come up. The law of the agronomist is no roots, no shoots. No shoots, no fruit. Colossians 2:6-7, I told you we'd get back to that. Here it is. It starts out by saying, now just as you trusted Christ to save you, trust him too for what? Everybody. If you don't take anything else home with you for the whole course, take that home with you. How can we trust him for our soul for eternity and not trust him to solve a business problem tomorrow, or a family problem, or a financial problem? Live in vital union with him. We need to put our roots down into Christ and draw up nourishment from him. Look what happens if we do. We grow. We become strong and vigorous in the Lord. And then our lives just overflow with joy. And folks will notice that every single time. With joy and thanksgiving for what Christ has done. If we put our roots down, but if we do not put our roots down in Christ, no shoots, no growth, no fruit. Next line, would you please jot down invest? and turn one page to page 50, page 60, top of the page. Mark 3:14, top of page 60, 6-0. He ordained 12 that they should be great big letters. What does it say, everybody? With him, the with him principle. Now there's a priority here. They spent some time with Christ, then they went out to preach. Before we do something for the Lord, we need to spend some time with Jesus. Whether it's witnessing, serving, whatever. 2 Timothy 2:2. A friend of mine named Wes Rogers did not know the Lord, and his wife drug him to a Bible conference, and I don't know how Betty ever got him there. He did not own a Bible, and he went down to the local 5 and 10, since he was going to a Bible conference, and bought a little cheap Bible in a cardboard box back in the 50s. And as he's going in the conference, he noticed on the doormat, 2 Tim 2:2, meaning 2 Timothy, 2nd chapter, 2nd verse. He said, Betty, what does that mean, 2 Tim 2:2? She said, honey, that's a Bible verse. He said, I see. So he got up to bedroom, he opened up the cardboard box, got his Bible out. He didn't know how to use the table of contents. I'm asking you to do that, you know. He couldn't find 2 Tim 2:2, a little bitty book, right? He was disgusted. He threw it over on the bed, said, I should have been willing to spend $10 for a Bible and got it, one that had it all in there. In 2 Timothy 2:2, this word commit means invest. Are you investing in other folks' lives? I thank God for the chance of investing in your life. After the crusade in 1956, about 3 or 4 weeks, my phone rang one day in my little warehouse. It was Charlie Riggs on the Graham team. I said, Charlie, where are you? I knew he lived in Nashville, Tennessee. He said, I'm just in your city passing through on vacation. I'd like to have lunch with you. Well, over lunch, I know I must have been rude and a little pushy, but I got the truth. On a 7-day vacation, he took 2 days and went 258 miles out of his way to go by Oklahoma City to spend 1 day with me and 1 day with a friend of mine named Gene Ward. And we decided to listen to what the man had to say, wouldn't you? Are you investing in other lives? I like these long-term investments. All right, in the next line, would you jot down, start with one. 1 Samuel 1:27. You remember the story here. Start with one. Elkanah had two wives, Peninnah and Hannah. Peninnah had children. Hannah was barren. The Bible said it was a disgrace to be barren in those days. And she was so wrought up, she went to her husband complaining about this thing, and he was kind of upset. Elkanah said, am I not worth more to you than 10 sons? I love you, baby. Now, that's not the exact translation, but that was the message. And she went to the temple, to the church, and she was praying for a child. She was so wrought up in prayer, the preacher came in, the priest, his name was Eli, thought she was intoxicated and started to throw her out, thought she was drunk. He said, oh, she said, no, Lord, I haven't even had any wine to drink. I'm not drunk. I'm praying for a child. I promise you on the authority of God's word, if you'll pray for a spiritual child, God will give you one. And he said, go your way. And I never did notice it for several years, but the Bible indicates that her whole countenance changed. She trusted God to keep that promise, and she went on her way full of joy. His name was what? Samuel. That's right. Samuel. She prayed for a child, and she said, if you give me a child, I'll give him back to you, a male child. She kept Samuel 2 or 3 years, whatever, this short period of time, and she gave him to the Lord. And do you know what God did? Gave her 5 kids. You can't outgive God. Can't do it. Start with one. Next line, stay with one. We had 5 children in our family, and several times, while we were attempting to raise them, I would like to send at least 2 or 3 of them back for a refund. But we didn't. We stuck with them. And I'm so glad. It turned out to be a real good investment. Colossians 1:28, Paul writes this. That we warn everyone we meet. We teach everyone we can. All that we know about Christ. We want to bring every man up to his full maturity in Christ. You know what happened? some of our churches. We get them saved. We seat them on the front row. We get their name. Sir, sign this right here. Get your name and address here. We vote them in the church. We baptize them. You come back in 22 years. They've moved back 22 rows, and they haven't grown one inch in the grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ. And I'm not being critical, folks. That's my testimony. That's what happened to me. And I was in some good churches with some good pastors and some good preaching. Why? Looking back on it, I think the reason is this. I had zero personal attention. I believe when I got saved, if someone had tapped me on the shoulder and said, Jack, I've got some Bible studies I'd like to go over with. If they really help me, and I'd like to be them with you. I've got some scripture portion you need to memorize, Jack. And Jack, you need to get up and meet the Lord morning by morning. I believe I would have done that. It would have saved me 20 years. Full maturity in Christ. He said, that's what I'm working at all the time with all the strength that God gives me. Most of our churches do a real good job of getting people in and not keeping them. I saved up money. That's not really true. I borrowed them a credit. My first car. I was a senior at Oklahoma University, and a man got drafted and had me sell his car. I ran an ad in the paper, and the offers were very low because everyone thought we would have to set them up on blocks for the duration. We couldn't buy gasoline without stamps and coupons and all. It was rationed. Tires were rationed, and I was offered a very low price. So I wrote him back, and I said, this is all I've been offered. If you want me to pay for it 9 months from now, I'll pay you more money. And he sold it to me on a credit for 9 months. I made enough money hauling people back and forth from Oklahoma City to Norman to more than pay for it during that 9 months. And I went down to the driver's license bureau and said, I have a Plymouth, and I've read the book on how to operate it. And here's the book, and they said, that's a good book. And I've read it, I've answered all the questions at the back of the chapters. I want a license. And they gave me a license to operate that motor vehicle. Do you believe that? Later on, years later, I needed an airplane. I'd learned to fly during World War II, and for 17 years I did not touch an airplane. As far as the controls were concerned. And I bought a half interest in a Cessna, 182, for an enormous sum of money, $3,750. And the FAA headquarters for the United States is in Oklahoma City. So I went down to FAA headquarters and I said, I bought a half interest in a 182 Cessna. They said, that's a good airplane. I've got a book here put out by Cessna Manufacturing Company up in Kansas, Wichita, Kansas. Now I've mastered this book. I've answered all the questions at the back of each chapter. And here's my money. I want a pilot's license. And they said, fine. And they gave me one. Do you believe that? How do you learn to fly an airplane? You mean you have to fly an airplane? How do you learn to drive an automobile? But driving an automobile, is that the way it is down here? Wow. Read it with me, everybody. Out loud. Telling is not teaching. Listening is not learning. You learn to do by doing. Now let me ask you a question. How do you learn to be a counselor at a Billy Graham Crusade? I rest my case. We're going to close with 2 Corinthians 12, 9 and 10. We had it the first session. Jesus speaking here, so we need to pay real close attention. Read it with me out loud, everybody. I am with you. That is all you need. My power shows up best in weak people. The less I have, the more I depend on Him. And if you're depending on your good looks, your personality, your theological training, your salesmanship ability, God may not even be able to use you. But if you're depending on the Lord, and you're available, that's all He needs. And you show up on the field and you're so scared that your throat's dry, you don't think you can talk. And your knees are knocking, that's just exactly the kind of counselor God wants. Why? Why? Why does He pick weak nobodies? So He'll get the glory, that's right. God is not willing to share His glory with your pastor, with Billy Graham, with you or me or anyone else. And He delights in using nobodies. Like me and like some of you. Let's pray. Father, thank you tonight for Jesus, that he died for us, Lord, to make this wonderful gift of salvation possible. Lord, give us a love for Christ, a deep love in our hearts that will make us want to share our faith with others. And Lord, I pray for each one here tonight that you give us the faith to believe that you can use us in the lives of others. And Lord, give those who are the least bit hesitant to hand in their application, give them faith to believe God. We love you, Lord Jesus. We pray in your precious name. Amen.